from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, here we go. 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Headlines on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
College football, shocking news. Trevor Lawrence is leaving Clemson. Nobody saw that coming. Yeah, I know it's a surprise.
You don't say.
I thought he'd come back and maybe play three more years. Trevor Lawrence, the likely number one pick, has left Clemson a year early to declare for the 2021 NFL draft.
The Jets and the Jaguars today interviewed Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, because you don't have to fly to different cities to interview anymore.
Nope.
You just sit in your living room. He has now interviewed for every head coaching opening except the Houston Texans.
The Dolphins offensive coordinator Chan Gailey, after a fake tweet from Adam Schefter that said he got fired a couple days ago. You see that, by the way? A fake Adam Schefter account comes out with a tweet that Chan Gailey has been fired. ESPN ran with it, thought it was legitimate. Well, now he's actually resigned after 1 year on the job as the play caller in Miami.
ESPN should probably check the handle of the tweet instead of it just saying Adam Schefter
or
on it.
How about just call the guy? I'm sure somebody in HR has his number.
The Browns have placed both defensive end Olivier Vernon, and no, I don't know another Olivier other than him and Lawrence Olivier, and former Husky center Nick Harris on the injured reserve.
The Seahawks are promoting tight end Luke Wilson to the active roster, placing corner Jason Stanley on the IR. Jamal Adams says he will play Saturday against the Rams. You'll hear from him later in the show. And speaking of the Rams, they have activated wide receiver Cooper Kupp off the COVID list. He should play Saturday against the Hawks.
Here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, 3:04 on a busy Wednesday afternoon. We're going to shuffle a couple things around. Mike Florio, who would normally join us today at 3:20.
Softy is an idiot.
He will be with us tomorrow at 3:20 on the radio show. So we thought, who could we get? Who could take the spot of a guest of such high esteem Mike Florio? Just the excellence that he delivers to this radio show. Lines like this.
What's up, buttholes?
That you have to find a way to replace when he's not available and is asked to do his segment tomorrow. And we thought, why not get maybe the second best linebacker in Seahawk history? Is that fair? KJ Wright behind Bobby Wagner? I mean, to me, there's certainly a debate. I mean, who would be, if Bobby Wagner's number one on the list of the all-time greatest Seahawk linebackers, who would be number two? I mean, the guys like, you know, back in the day, like Keith Butler would come to mind.
Fred Young.
Yeah,
Lofa.
I mean, KJ's number two, right?
I think he's number two.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I never really thought about that because, you know, we always thought about, okay, who's the best linebacker, Bobby Wagner, and you kind of end the conversation there.
Yep.
But, yeah.
We are talking to the second greatest linebacker in Seahawk history.
Yeah, baby.
The next segment on the radio show.
And a guy that it just stuns me. I mean, it absolutely stuns me what he has been able to do these 2 years and this 2-year deal that he signed. I was like, man, okay, he's going to get through 1 year because of what we saw in 2018, which was not so great. And then he takes a step in 2019 that I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to take a step in the right direction at the age of 30. And then he takes another step in the right direction. Linebackers are not supposed to get better from age 29 to 31, but he has done that.
Well, he's got the fourth most solo tackles in Seahawk history behind only three guys. Bobby Wagner's one of them. If you can name the other two, I'll give you a $10 Taco Time gift card the next time I see you.
Are you talking linebackers or all tackles?
I'm just talking period defenders, all time.
Eugene Robinson.
Eugene's number one. There you go. Nice job. That's solo tackles. Because Bobby, I think, has him in combo tackles, but Eugene's got him in solo tackles. So who's the other guy on that list?
Give me a position.
Oh, that's going to give it away.
Will it?
He plays nose tackle. 3-4 defense back in the day.
Joe Nash.
There you go. See, that was easy, though. Once I gave you that, I mean,
come on. Is that surprising, though, that a nose tackle is on the tackles
list?
Well,
he played here for 15 years,
It's
kind of part of the reason why he got that far. But, yeah, KJ Wright will join us next segment. And, you know, look, I mean, dude, Pro Football Focus, here we go with the disclaimer. I know Pro Football Focus is not the end-all, be-all, but what's the standard line? They do give us a little bit of an idea of who's playing well and who's not, and they they've got KJ Wright as the eighth best linebacker in the National Football League. So, look, I guess there was some thought that maybe KJ would play this final year and then he'd be done. We talked over the offseason about, hey, is this going to be one of those kind of surprise cuts? They draft Jordan Brooks. Would they maybe move on from KJ Wright? And at some point in time, they're going to have to give Jordan Brooks an opportunity to be the guy. Maybe he eventually replaces Bobby Wagner when Bobby, you know, calls it quits. I have no idea. But, dude, PFF has Bobby as the third best linebacker in football and KJ number eight. Why would you want to move on from those guys?
That sounds about right. You know, like, you know, we don't analyze every single player at every single position like PFF does.
But I do. I watch tape every night.
Sometimes PFF throws out stats and rankings that you're like, what?
Right.
But this, for example, this, did you hear the quarterback rankings? They got Tom Brady over Patrick Mahomes. Now, hey, Tom Brady had a nice year, but I don't think he had the year Patrick Mahomes had. But yes, that sounds about right. You know, you just look at, you kind of cursory look at the linebackers throughout the league, and you think, okay, Bobby may not be the best linebacker in the NFL anymore, but he's damn close.
Right.
And KJ Wright, whatever the next level under Bobby Wagner is, KJ Wright is right there.
Well, and again, why would you want to let that guy walk out of here? You know, he's a top 10 linebacker in the NFL. Maybe you re-sign him for a year. Maybe you try and find a way to play Jordan Brooks and KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner together at the exact same time. That was interesting what you said there about Tom Brady is no way Patrick Mahomes. He had more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. He had a passer rating that was 6 points lower than Patrick Mahomes. Completion percentage that was 0.5% lower than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he was right there, dude.
He was right there.
And you know, the way they do things, PFF doesn't just look at hardcore numbers and say, well, who threw more touchdowns? Who's got more yards? Who's got a better rating? They will not give a quarterback. Like, remember Aaron Rodgers had that one great day where he had like five touchdowns, but three of them were like dump offs?
Yes.
And so PFF gave him like a mediocre ranking and people threw a fit. I have no idea how they're ranking these guys or what their formula looks like. All I know is this, is that the quarterbacks in this conference right now, I mean, dude, imagine the semifinals of the NFC playoffs. If the Buccaneers win against Washington, which I think they will.
Yes.
If the Seahawks beat the Rams, which I think they will.
Yep.
If the Saints beat, what, the Bears? Is that right?
Which the Bears.
I think they will. The final four is going to be Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Wilson.
Your top four quarterbacks in the NFC.
All in the same league, in the same conference.
And in the AFC, I mean, your top two quarterbacks are Mahomes and Josh Allen. And those two will probably meet in the AFC championship.
Totally.
Shocker, breaking news. Absolutely. The quarterback position is important in the NFL.
Well, and that's why, you know, look, I saw a lot of hand-wringing over the weekend about what was the game where there was a ridiculous roughing the passer call. It was the Lion game, I think it was, whatever game that was, where a defensive lineman fell on a quarterback, and you can't do that anymore, and people are throwing a fit. The NFL is, what is it? It's a business, all right? Yep. The NFL is a billion-dollar business. They are about making money, period, end of story, and they're not stupid. The rules are in place to protect the business. The quarterback, there is no sport, no position in any sport in the country where one position can have the impact on the outcome of a game and the business of a league the way the quarterback can. So in a lot of ways, from a financial perspective, it's smart as hell to do what they've done to protect these guys. Drives us nuts when it happens to our defense, but from a financial perspective, it's genius.
You can see why they're doing it. Who has more impact, the great quarterback or the superstar, top three in the NBA basketball player?
I think the quarterback. I really do. Because I still think that the elite NBA superstar needs a little bit of help.
Right? Well, so does the quarterback.
Right, but I'm saying that if you have, look, Aaron Rodgers last year went to the NFC Championship game, right, because they beat the Seahawks in the second round.
Yes.
And you saw what he was throwing to a year ago. He had nothing in Green Bay. He had a good running back, obviously.
We had Devontae.
Right, but I still think that the bottom line is that Michael Jordan didn't win until he had Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
LeBron James needs help. He can't do it on his own. He needs at least to have a Robin to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, my first reaction is I think the quarterback, the elite quarterback. I mean, look at Tom Brady. Right? Look at the crap he was throwing to a year ago in New England.
Yeah.
They're still a playoff team. So, I don't know. To me, the quarterback, I think, is the most important.
I think it's a good argument both ways. I will say that Super Bowls have been won without elite quarterbacks. The last time an NBA championship has been won without an elite player was probably the Pistons?
How about an elite player doing it by himself with nothing else around him in the NBA? How often does that happen?
That never happened.
Right, never.
I can't think of a time that's happened.
I just think, again, for people that are complaining about the way quarterbacks are protected in the NFL, you know, I get it because it's really hard right now to be a defensive lineman. It's really hard to be a safety. It's really hard to be anybody whose job it is to go after a quarterback. I mean, you can't even, you know, go after a guy, put your hands in the air, try to bat a ball away, hit him in the head on accident, and all of a sudden it's 15 yards. Go after a guy's knees. Maybe you get rolled over, whatever. It's 15 yards. You get kicked out of a football game. So I will say this. We can argue about who's more important to their sport. There is no doubt that there is no position that's more protected in sports than elite quarterbacks in the NFL. No doubt about that.
Speaking of going after somebody's knees, I think we need to ask that question to our
That was on accident,
guest.
By the way. Yeah. Oh, Kyle Juszczyk. You want to ask KJ Wright about his take on Kyle Juszczyk?
I think we need to do
that. All right.
That.
We'll get to KJ Wright, number 50. We'll join the radio show before Saturday's game against the Rams. Next, right here on Softy.
Get your podcast.
Now, back to Softy and Dick on your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 55. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Well, you think about the run the Hawks are on the last 10 years or so and where these guys will sit. They're going to have to make some more room in that Ring of Honor eventually, right? Maybe expand that thing a little bit
around
more.
The stadium.
Well, it will. I mean, we've got the best quarterback in franchise history. Some would argue the best running back in franchise history, and it's debatable, Marshawn. I think I would still say Sean Alexander because he's got the numbers
and the longevity,
but it's debatable that Marshawn's the guy. You've got, well, I mean, look, if we're talking about the run, I guess I'm referencing the Carroll run, not the Holmgren run, because you can go back to Holmgren, you can say the Paul Allen run and say, well, the best left tackle in franchise history, the best left guard in franchise history in Steve Hutchinson, the best middle linebacker in franchise history in Bobby Wagner, maybe the best outside linebacker in franchise history in KJ Wright, the best corner, maybe the best free safety. Although some would debate that with Earl Thomas, the best strong safety in Cam Chancellor. Could we say one of the best wide receivers, if maybe second best? And is Doug Baldwin the second best wide receiver in franchise history behind Steve Largent?
I'd give it to Baldwin right now. I think Lockett will probably eclipse that, and then DK will eclipse Lockett.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
No, that's fair. It's just funny how when you bring up things like KJ Wright's the second best linebacker in Seahawks history, all of a sudden people start tweeting and, hey, don't forget about Terry Beeson back in the day.
Terry Beeson!
Don't forget about Rufus Porter back in the day, or Lofoot the Tupu, or Leroy Hill back in the day. So joining us right now on the radio show, it's been a while since we've had number 50 on the program. Had a big hit on that guy whose name people can't pronounce for the Niners on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a matter of seconds, but number 50, 10 years in the National Football League. He's going back to the playoffs. KJ Wright with us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. How are you, man?
What's up, fellas? It's been a minute.
It has been a while. Congratulations on making the playoffs again for the eighth time in your career. Tell us about that, because I wonder if a young kid out of Mississippi State when he was drafted 10 years ago would have thought that he would be about to embark on a playoff run for 80% of his career. How about that?
That's big time, man. I've just been fortunate to be part of a super, super just, you know, successful organization. It's our, you know, Coach Carroll and, you know, his philosophy, his style, man, and just the consistency that we bring. Russell been consistent, his defense has been consistent, and, you know, getting to the playoffs this year, it's not going to be good enough. You know, I've been making it, but just getting to this point, it's not good enough, and I'm not satisfied, and so we got a lot of work to do.
You've been doing work every single game. It seems like you look at the TV and you just go, damn, what a play, KJ. And that obviously popped up last week with Kyle Juszczyk. Maybe talk about what you talked about in the press conference. Our listeners probably didn't get a chance to hear kind of the reasoning behind the extra little pop you put on him.
Yeah, you know, we got history, man. I faced this dude plenty of times, and, you know, like I said, he likes to cut. And, I love my knees. I don't like when people go with my knees. I only got two of them. And so he cuts a lot. So I told him, bro, if you keep cutting me, I'm about to, you know, put my shoulder through your chest. And so I had to come what he asked for, and hopefully he learned his lesson.
I think he learned his lesson. Well, you're also 15-4 against the Niners since 2012, so you guys are getting the upper hand on those guys for sure. But you mentioned that making the playoffs is not good enough. What's good enough for you in 2020?
I want to be in Temple, man. That's my goal. That's his team's goal. And, you know, I'm tired of coming up short. You know, we came up short in Green Bay, you know, a few plays away from there. And so we got to this point. We got our home playoff game that we've always been fighting for. So we got to travel across the East Coast. And so let's just keep winning, man. Take it one game at a time. This Rams team is hungry. They play a really good defense over there. And so we got to make sure that we play better. And so I'm excited to see, you know, how this game turns out. But I expect to move on to the divisional round.
Why is this team more suited to move on deep into the playoffs than the previous 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, you just look at this team, man. We have what we need to go all the way. The pass rush is just, you know, obviously it starts with stopping the run, but you know, I'm just super excited that our D-line is getting after this quarterback. We're getting sacks, we're getting fumbles, and especially when we need them, too. Yeah. Got them in the two-minute drill, you know, get the offensive ball back. And so if you can get after quarterbacks in this league, you know, on third downs and pass situations, that's where ball games are won. And so I know we can do great against the run, but we got to get after the quarterback. And so I believe that's why we're suited to go all the way this year.
Well, KJ Wright is with us, and the pass rush has definitely improved. I mean, anybody with one eye could see that the pass rush has gotten better from where it was last year in the first half of the year. But something clicked for this defense, I think, KJ, in the second half of that Ram game, the first game you played down there. They've scored 15 points on you guys in the next six quarters, and you guys are averaging 15 points a game since that loss to L.A. down there. What clicked maybe in that second half for you guys?
I mean, at some point, you just got to just do your job. And, you know, we got into halftime and just, guys, this is what they're doing, and let's just be accountable for what your role is. And so we've been accountable ever since. Guys are just – DBs are staying on top. You know, obviously linebackers are being great on the back end. The guys are just being, you know, responsible for what they're asked to do. And so Coach Norton did a tremendous job in putting us in position. Guys are just being accountable, being responsible for their assignments. And football is simple. You don't got to make things hard out there. And so we're just playing really, really well together, communicating great, just playing good Seahawks defense.
Can you paint a picture of what Carlos Dunlap does for the rest of that front seven?
Man, Dunlap. Just, I believe, first of all, he's put, you know, a price tag on veteran presence. And so for him to come from Cincinnati, share his expertise, and get after that quarterback, you saw him make that spin move last week, knocking balls down. You know, it's just, he's a really good football player. And, you know, awesome teammate. I talk to him all the time. And he's just a guy that I'm glad that we got from Cincinnati. And so he's gelling really good with Benson coming off that edge. And that's a good duo we got.
Well, KJ Wright, again, is our guest, and Dick mentioned about how you're playing this year, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, give you a big ego or anything, but you're playing great football right now. I mean, PFF, maybe you follow Pro Football Focus, maybe you don't. They've got you as the eighth best linebacker in the National Football League with Bobby number three, but we're always used to seeing you play that kind of football. But I want to ask you, did the drafting of Jordan Brooks kind of fire you up a little bit when that happened?
I wouldn't say the draft bothered me. I would say that the disrespect that people put on my name bothered me. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Seahawks should let KJ go to cut the cap space and, you know, sign Clowney instead. And, you know, KJ's done. You know, that really didn't sit well with me at all, especially coming off statistically my best year last year. And so I definitely heard the noise. I got the tweets and all that. And so when people piss me off, you know, that's just extra motivation for me to show how good. So I've been on a mission all year. And, you know, I'm thankful that the season's going this way. And I just got to make sure I finish strong.
Well, hang on just a second. You're telling me then that maybe we should be tweeting you on Friday night, telling you how much you stink and your best days are behind you and you're overrated and all that stuff?
What? Listen, I deleted my Twitter, so I won't see none of that.
Well, that's a good thing. Hey, KJ, Softy warns me all the time on the air. He says, just stop looking at Twitter. He tells me that almost every single day, so I guess now you have done the smart thing and you've stopped looking at Twitter. Looking forward to this Rams game, KJ. How do you prepare for two completely different quarterbacks? What does that look like, both in the film room and then also on the field?
Yeah, it's kind of a challenge. You know, you just want to watch one quarterback and see what they do. But we're super familiar with Goff. I know how he plays and, you know, what he's good at. But this quarterback, you know, you got to do a little digging. And so we have film on him. We got a good understanding of you know, how McVay wants to use him. And so he's a guy that I like him. He has confidence. He's a guy that can run. And, you know, he'll give some opportunities. And so I expect number nine to be out there, and I think it'll be a fun ball game facing him.
I love it. Well, KJ, before you go, let me ask you about the players' fund that was set up. Great thing that you guys are doing to provide scholarships, man. For those that missed that, talk about what you guys are up to.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited. For all my high school seniors out there, sign up and apply for these scholarships, man. It's really big. We raised all this money, and it'll be $10,000. We're going to pick five kids. They got to do an essay and send in a video. We're going to pick five kids in the local Seattle area to get $10,000 per year. And so I know college is expensive, and, you know, these scholarships are hard to get. But we just want to bless the community, man, just give these kids opportunities. So sign up, man, and, you know, I'm personally handpicking a few students, so I'm super excited about that.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Well, listen, just remember one thing before you play on Saturday, that you're no good, you're overrated, and your best days are behind you, okay?
No doubt.
Go get them Saturday.
You're the best, man. Thanks.
Appreciate this, man. See ya.
Yep.
All right, KJ right there with us. I'm looking up some numbers as he's talking there. He is in 17 games against the Rams. He is 9-8 overall against the Rams franchise as a Seahawk linebacker. So, you know, obviously they've had battles with these guys for sure, but I just think a guy who is playing as good a football as he's ever played in a lot of ways in his career, he's 31 years old, and, you know, hearing him talk about how he heard people talking about cutting him and opening up cap space to go out and sign guys like Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, it's not very often that you hear a player come on the air and say, yeah, I heard people talking about getting rid of me to sign player X. That was pretty awesome to hear him say that. So, hey, man, whatever gets him fired up for Saturday, whatever gets him fired up for 2020, I'm totally for it.
You know, thinking about what he said about this team being uniquely prepared to go deep in the playoffs versus what we've seen in the last few years, it just got me thinking about that. Absolutely, because I'm trying to think of a position group that is worse this year than it was last year. And I mean, running back was a freaking abomination at this time last year.
DEFCON 1, right.
Wide receiver. DK is much better this year than he was last year. Tyler Lockett is every bit as good, and you're getting at least what you got from your third wide receiver last year this year. I mean, offensive line hasn't been better in how many years? How many years have you had an offensive line this good when the starting five have been together? Well, they are 5-0, averaging 38 points a game.
You got to compare it, though, to the rest of the NFC. I mean, that's the thing is, yes, right. I think the Seahawks have gotten better this year compared to where they were a year ago. They're absolutely better. There's no doubt. The safety position is better. Linebackers are better. The pass rush is better. The offensive line's better. Running backs are healthier. Wide receivers, tight ends. He didn't even have Will Disley a year ago at this time because he was hurt, and now you got him. I mean, Disley hasn't done a ton this year, but just having him is obviously, you know, a difference maker. Having him and having Luke Wilson and Greg Olsen and Jacob Hollister. So I think they are better. I do wonder, and this is one thing that Harlan's going to talk about at 5:20 tonight. When it comes to elite players compared to the rest of the NFC fearsome foursome, which would be Tampa, New Orleans, Green Bay, and Seattle. Do they have the talent? Do they have the number of elite players? Like, for example, and you can do this in any number of ways, but Pro Football Focus, just using their grading system, the Packers, Jaire Alexander is the number one cornerback in the NFL as graded on by PFF. Adrian Amos, number two safety. Darnell Savage, number nine safety. Rodgers, number one quarterback. Davante Adams, number one wide receiver. David Bakhtiari, who I think is hurt, by the way, number two tackle in the NFL. And then Za'Darius Smith is the number 15 edge rusher. The Seahawks have five players in the top 10 at their position. You know who they are? Five players, top 10 at their position is graded by PFF. Who are they?
Russell Wilson.
Number one, correct?
Dwayne Brown.
He's number six, correct?
Is Damian Lewis in the top 10?
Nope, he's 15th overall among guards.
Okay.
Get the bell. Hang on a second. I get the bell when you get one right. You get two dings so far for Russ and Dwayne. Boom, boom. There you go.
I don't think Carlos Dunlap has enough snaps.
Nope. One of them was just on the radio show about 2 minutes
KJ
ago.
KJ, right, Bob? KJ, I'm going through position by position.
Bobby's number three.
KJ,
that's four. There's one more guy in the top 10 at his position is rated by Pro Football Focus.
Quandre Diggs.
Incorrect. I'll just tell you, it's Michael Dixon. He's number three in the NFL among punters.
Okay, I hadn't gotten to special teams.
So, you know, do they have those elite players, do they have enough elite talent? And, you know, look, I mean, Jamal Adams is rated 45th in the NFL by PFF among safeties. I think he's better than the 45th best safety in the NFL, just from a difference-maker perspective on defense. But isn't that what this is going to come down to in the end, that you need your star players to perform like stars? That's why I mentioned yesterday about Russell Wilson, man. When you get to the second round of the NFL playoffs and you're looking to kick that barn door down for the first time since 2014, I need Russell Wilson to be better than what he's been in those last three second-round games.
Yeah, we need Russell Wilson to feel a little looser and not be, as Hugh said, not be so concerned with turning the ball over in the first three quarters of the game. And that's what Hugh mentioned to us in the post game. I mentioned yesterday what Hugh said is that he has spent over the last month or so, the first three quarters of games, worrying so much about turning the ball over that why does he work in the fourth quarter? Because Russ just becomes Russ. It has nothing to do with, like, let Russ cook or play calling or anything like that. It's just Russ becoming Russ and realizing, my number one focus now is to win the football game, not turn the ball over.
But doesn't that have to come from the sideline, though? That kind of permission?
I would.
To go out there and just say, hey, have at it. And why? Look, it's an easy question with a difficult answer, but this is like a question a five-year-old would ask. Why aren't they doing that the entire game? Because I don't remember Russell Wilson when he's unleashed in the fourth quarter like he was against Green Bay a year ago, or Carolina a couple years back when they're down 31-0, or the Niner game, for example, on Sunday. I don't remember Russell Wilson being unleashed and then coughing the ball up a bunch in the fourth quarter at the same time. So why not have that attitude? Why not be the aggressor the entire game? And let's avoid these gigantic holes. I mean, dude, let's be honest. The biggest reason why the Hawks have lost three games in a row in the second round is because they're down 25 points at halftime.
Being the aggressor, particularly against a team that has no offense, is a little bit dangerous because, as Pete will tell you, and he's right, you turn the ball over more than your opponent, you're going to lose. And being the aggressor, when Russell has been the aggressor at times this year, he has turned the ball over. But like you said yesterday, more turnovers than any other season he's ever had here.
Yeah.
So,
but again, in the fourth quarter, like you said, when they really step on the gas, he's not coughing the ball up.
No, but I think you're facing also a defense that has a 6 to 10 to 13 point lead that might be playing a little bit looser than they would be in the second quarter.
Yeah, I just don't see any reason why you would want to not be aggressive in every single game you play. And that doesn't necessarily mean throwing the ball 75 yards down the field on every play. That means picking the pace up, right? We talked about that last year. Hey, maybe being aggressive could mean, let's step on the gas. Let's limit the playbook a little bit, but let's put them on their heels.
I like the pace idea, and I also like the idea of just simply being unpredictable. I think that's being aggressive. When you run in passing situations and pass in running situations, I feel like that's being aggressive because you are keeping the defense unsure of what you're going to do. And when the defense can get aggressive, is on 3rd and 4, and they know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to pass the ball. When 3rd and 4 doesn't have to be a passing down, particularly if you're out standing on the 50-yard line.
Let's do this. We've got a break. We had a lot more to get to, including Brian Schottenheimer, including Jamal Adams, all coming up on a busy Wednesday right here on 950. Come with
me. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 55. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
All right, Petros Papadakis, 420 on the radio show, as always, courtesy of our friends at Hendrikas Organics.
Losers.
Wow, geez. He's not calling the sponsor losers, is he? Hey, no, Petros, no. What do you think of Hendrikas Organics?
Losers.
Oh, I don't think that's what he meant.
I think he meant that was
taken out of context, man. Hey, he'll join us at 420 on the radio show right here on Softy and Dick.
Loser.
See, now he's getting it right.
Yes,
now he knows what he's talking about. But Jamal Adams actually is having a press conference right now as we speak. This is live. And they have told us that we can ask the first question. Okay. Jamal Adams is at the podium, literally right now, waiting for you and I to chime in. Greg Bell, Curtis Crabtree, Bob Condotta, Tim
Booth. Guys.
They're all waiting there. Hey, how are you? They're waving back at you right now. You can't see him. They want you to ask Jamal if he's going to play in the game on Saturday. Go ahead.
All right, I'm a little nervous. Jamal, how are you feeling? Do you think you're going to play on Saturday?
Yeah, no question in my mind. I'm playing, man. Yeah, hey, look, as long as these legs are moving, man, as long as, you know, my faith is with the man upstairs, which is very strong, I'm going to be out there. So there was never no doubt in my mind that I wasn't playing, so let's get that out there. I'm full go.
Yeah, Jamal, could you just describe what happened on that play? And I mean, you know, how you got hurt, or what the or if you're at liberty to say what your injury was or whatever.
Yeah. Just a little lucky hit. You know, it happens. You know, just blitzing, and you know, he caught me. You know, nice little hit. So I gotta give it to him. But at the end of the day, it's not gonna slow me down, man. We're excited for this matchup coming up. You know, round three versus an outstanding group, and just can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Are you gonna have to play with any sort of like harness or anything like that with your shoulder?
Yeah, I'll play with something.
You're dealing with the injury to your other shoulder already. What do you think that's gonna be like with two injured shoulders?
It's just another challenge, man. I'm a savage, bro. I'm a warrior, man. It doesn't matter, man. Whatever it takes. It's not about me. It's always gonna be bigger than me. It's about this team. It's about my brothers. You know, it's about my family back home, my why. So, you know, again, I'm excited for this opportunity. It doesn't matter what obstacle is thrown my way. I always figure it out, and that's all that matters, man. So I'm looking forward to the matchup.
Obviously, there's a lot happening in our country right now, and you're very big in social justice movement. Yeah. I wanted to see if you had a reaction or a comment that you'd like to share about what's happening in D.C. today.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's really just exposing, you know, what's been out there. But, you know, my focus is on the playoffs right now. On the Rams, and that's where I want to keep it for right now, and we'll handle the rest when the time is right. But it's disgusting.
Jamal, how much do you go back and watch the Rams game from this past week with Wolford at quarterback, and sort of how did they look different?
Yeah, I've watched it probably about 10 times. You know, I know a little bit about him. He was with the Jets for a period of time. You know, it's different. But very similar in a lot of ways. And, you know, again, you know, I respect, you know, what Sean McVay does over there. You know what I mean? And what he does is he sticks to his script. He believes in his system. And I have nothing but respect for that guy. So he's going to continue doing what he does because he believes in himself and he believes in the guys he has. So we got to go out there and slow them down as best as we can.
All right, Jamal Adams says he's going to be out there on Saturday. Forget about it, man. There's no way I'm not playing in this game. First time in his career. And look, let's not act like Jamal Adams' career has been 15 years long. This is, what, his fourth year in the NFL? Is that right?
I believe so.
Third year in the NFL, whatever it is. So Jamal Adams will be out there with the shoulder. And like we talked about yesterday, I think even if he's not 1,000% healthy and 100% effective, just having the threat of the blitz and having to move a guy off his spot and having to make an offense account for where he is, to me, is worth having him out.
That's the thing. You have to game plan for Jamal Adams. Yep. And there are very few defenders in the NFL you have to game plan for, but you have to game plan for him. And I mean, I've said it before. I mean, he's a little over the top. He's a little hyperbolic.
He's
but
excited.
I love this guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is just something about Jamal Adams. And I am not the type of guy, as you know, to wrap my arms and embrace loud, outspoken players. I don't normally do that, but there's something about this guy. Maybe it's just the jubilation and the constant positivity that he shows, and he backs it up on the field by playing 120 miles an hour. Maybe that combination, because maybe some of the other guys that we've had that have been outspoken before have been kind of negative, more smack-talking, more, you know, me guys, where I don't see that from Jamal, and I just really like that.
Yeah,
guy.
I just want guys to perform. I don't give a damn what they sound like, to be totally honest with you. But I get it. There's a lot of people like you that don't like the bravado that players like Richard Sherman brought to the table back in the day, and it is different. It's not like mean-spirited. It's not as if he's trying to be a jerk to people. You know, Sherman at times sounded like he was making it personal when it came to other players in the NFL.
He's abrasive.
Which, I wouldn't change a damn thing about Richard Sherman, right? I mean, we were all celebrating when he was going after Joe Spider Webb back in the day, mocking how poor of a wide receiver he was for Minnesota. We're laughing at those things. Different guys have different indicators and different signals that set him off. And, you know, look, I mean, KJ Wright, when he was on the air with us, right? I mean, he's talking about how he heard people talking about cutting him so they can specifically go out and sign Jadeveon Clowney. And whatever guys need to fuel their fire, I'm totally cool with it. We've talked about the Michael Jordan documentary, how he'd make stuff up.
Yeah.
Literally convince himself that things were true when they weren't, just to motivate him. So whatever those guys need to bring it to the table on Saturday, I'm totally with it. But I do agree with you that, you know, Jamal Adams just seems to have this spirit of joy about playing football.
Great word.
That is awesome to see. He loves being out there. He appreciates this opportunity, and that's why I'm jacked up for both him and Carlos Dunlap, right? Or Dunlap, excuse me. I want to make sure I get his name
right.
It. You could not go from two worse situations in the NFL to a better situation if you're Carlos Dunlap and Jamal Adams. You went from the Bengals and the Jets to the Seattle Seahawks. And those guys appreciate big time the opportunity they have on Saturday.
And how many guys have we seen with Jamal Adams' talent level that just skated through, man? Just skate through. I can give 70% effort, and I'm still going to make millions of dollars in this league because God has given me such a talent, and he has not done that at all.
Well, and that's the thing about Jamal that's kind of cool is that, yeah, he's got the 1 year left on the fifth-year option next season at $9 million, but Jamal Adams still knows if he wants that big, gigantic payday, he's got to ball out. Keep doing what he's doing right now and stay healthy. And look, you know what? Maybe if he had already gotten that deal, maybe he wouldn't be out there on Saturday. Maybe if he'd been in the playoffs before, maybe he wouldn't be out there on Saturday. I told you guys last year, I thought when Clowney was out there playing with a hernia that if Jadeveon Clowney was in year one of a four-year deal versus the last year of his contract before he hit free agency, maybe he sits out the Green Bay game. Maybe he's not playing in that game.
Don't you think Adams has a little different personality?
Yes, I do.
More
I do.
Consistent
I do.
Fire
I do.
Than Clowney
well, I
does?
Think, no, well, I think, yeah, but I also think that there's a shot that he would have played anyway just because he's a competitor and because he loves playing football. But I always do think that you're benefiting, if you're the Seahawks, from guys that are playing for deals. Right? Shaquille Griffin's playing for a deal. KJ Wright's playing for a deal. DK Metcalf is playing for a deal in a couple years from now. Jamal Adams playing for a deal in a couple years from now. All those guys should be benefiting from that. 356, we're going to break. Petros Papadakis joining us on the radio show, 420 right here, courtesy of our friends at HeadDrinkusOrganics.com.
He's too ugly to be.